Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you, one and all, for being with us tonight. And it's a wonderful, warm evening here in Massachusetts. It's starting to be almost spring, which is, I'll talk about that some more in a minute. But wherever you are, whenever you are, I'm glad that you're with us. My guest tonight is Julie Renee, who does a whole array of things that I want to hear about. But what caught my eye, what somebody pointed out to me, is she talks about spiritual and energetic parasites in much the same way that I talk about it, and I'm really looking forward to that conversation. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And for whatever reason, it struck me that worry and complaining are basically the same thing, just done before something occurs or after something occurs. So if you're worrying about something, you focus on it repeatedly with a lot of emotion, with your story, with whatever it is. And the problem with that is metaphysically, whatever you give energy to and focus on, especially if you put emotion behind it and do it repeatedly, will attract whatever it is you focus on. So if you worry about something, you get more of it. And then the only benefit I've ever seen from that is you get to be right. See, I told you that was going to happen. And then complaining, well, complaining is a part of my cultural and family background. In my family, complaining was a competitive blood sport. You not only had to tell the story and tell a good story, but it had to be better than anyone else. You think that's bad? Let me tell you what happened to me. It was so much worse than what happened to you. So a lot of people have been complaining, which is why I was thinking about this, and I've been thoroughly amused. So the big complaint, well, I'll get to the weather and snow and stuff in a minute, but the big complaint has been daylight savings time. And as somebody pointed out to me, we set the clocks to daylight savings time for two-thirds of the year. So daylight savings time is actually standard, and the time we use in the winter is actually the anomaly. But we never look at it that way. Most of the year is daylight savings time. And nobody seems to know why we do it. It started during one of the wars to create more time of daylight in the evening than something like that. And then they blamed it on farmers. But nobody really seems to know what it is. But I know people who can get on a plane and fly for 6 hours or however long across several time zones, and they don't have jet lag. They're totally fine. But daylight savings time totally messes up their sleep cycle, and they're totally trashed for days and days and days and whining about it and things. What physicists tell us is that time doesn't exist. There is no time. You know, it's just something we made up so everything doesn't happen simultaneously and confuse us. But the story of standardized time is fascinating. Every town used to have their clock, and everyone set their time to the clock. And the clock was at approximately noon based on the position of the sun. They would set the clock, reset the clock every day to noon, and then everybody would set their watches and their clocks to that. The problem happened when trains started running long distances between towns, and every town had a different time. So nobody knew when the train was going to show up. And they said, well, we got to figure out what to do with this. And some wonderful mechanical genius figured out the mathematics of it and the geometry of it and said, well, if we divide the world into 24 time zones by lines of longitude, then each one will be an hour. And yeah, so they did that. And then, of course, human beings made a mess out of that. So China, which probably spans three or four time zones, has one time zone because they can do that. They're big and powerful, and they'll just do whatever they want, and they don't want to mess around with multiple time zones. India sits directly on the line between two time zones, so they decided that they would make their clocks half an hour off from everyone else's. So if you're calling India, you have to know that it's not 3 hours, it's 3.5 hours from whatever it was. So none of it really is anything but this arbitrary system somebody tried to put in place. But then you add daylight savings time and everybody gets totally funky about it. So I'm just sitting here laughing. The other one was, of course, we're just coming out of the winter, and where I am, we've had a lot of snow. I've been lucky because I'm just slightly west of the intense snow zone where they got 7 feet of snow in Boston. We got about 2.5 or 3. But in the springtime, now that we've been complaining about the snow for all these months and how it's been bitter cold, we start getting melting, and you get what's called the freeze and thaw cycle. It's warm during the day, and it's cold at night, so things melt during the day, turn to water, the water goes into whatever puddles it's going to go into, and then it freezes to solid ice at night. So outside my door is a wonderful place to create one of those puddles, and so there was a 6 or 8 foot long ice moat that went from my steps up towards the parking area. And I decided it was part of the security system, and it was probably dangerous not only for me but for anybody else who would try to come in. And then, of course, the weather got warmer, and it turned into a mud puddle, and then it dried up. And I never did get to buy the poisonous electric alligators that I thought would be really a lot of fun to put in the moat. But you just can watch what the next thing to complain about is going to be. So around here, it's going to be mud season. All the snow is going to melt. We're going to have some flooding, and all of the ground that doesn't have solid grass on it will turn to mud. Always something to complain about. Nothing changes because you complain. So as we go through all of these phases and changes and twists and turns and tricks that life plays on us, whining is just a game that we do. It's just something we do to amuse ourselves or sap our energy. And if you have people to do it with and you have a good time, more power to you. But mostly I just watch the game and laugh at it, because human beings are pretty funny. So I'm not sure whether that was a metaphysical musing, a political rant, or a history lesson, but that was tonight's metaphysical musing. And let's have a wonderful time with my guest, Julie Renee. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So the first thing I always ask the guests, and I know you have a wonderful, complex story, is how did you wind up where you are doing what you're doing? You know, what's your life story, your walkabout, the challenges that led you to what you're doing? So why don't you just give a quick sentence about what it is that you do and tell us how you got here.
Well, the quick sentence is I am the number one brain rejuvenation expert in the world. I regenerate cells, glands, and organs using the quantum field and the human blueprint.
Which sounds extremely cool, and I want to hear more about it.
And how I got here, I can do a short version or a long version. How I got here, as I literally survived the atomic bomb testing as a child.
Wow.
In the Nevada desert on vacation, had 17 surgeries, multiple cancers, died a couple times, was in a wheelchair for a year, told I would never walk without unbearable pain and canes, and really just had the worst of human health conditions, and coming back from death and living in unbearable pain. 7, 8 years ago, I went to my garden in prayer and meditation, said, God, take me or make me well. You promised me the Garden of Eden, and I'm living in hell. And really that very first day when I understood that I needed to demand it, I prayed, I meditated, I chanted, I got my energy vibration really high, And I began to see my cells regenerate. I began to remember the blueprint. I began to remember the quantum field. What was always here for me to use, I had just forgotten. And since then, I've been able to regenerate myself. I run on mountains. I dance. I use my legs. Needless to say, I've had no more surgeries. But in addition to that, I've helped literally thousands and thousands of people get better. We've had people grow back things that have been surgically removed, like a colon. We've had cancer DNA medically documented removed. Had a woman grow back her adrenals after failure, which is considered medically impossible.
Fantastic. In my work, I've seen a few small miracles like that, but it sounds like you've got a way of approaching this that gets much more consistent results than most people are getting. So, got my attention. Tell us.
Oh, goody. You know, honestly, it's in all of us, in every one of us, to have this wisdom and to use it. And my whole quest is 5 million minds. When we reach 5 million minds, we reach the tipping point. We don't have to do so many techniques. We don't have to pump our hands and read encyclopedias that I write. But it becomes more natural. So we're in that stage right now. The world is changing. Humanity is changing. How we access our divine wisdom is changing. We've shifted into the age of androgyny and equality. And what that means is that we can have our God information and we can use it. And in past eras, even just before 1976, when we were in the Piscean Age, we couldn't use it. We were in the patriarchal era. We might have God information, but we had to go through others to get anything done. And now in this era, it's just incredible. We're just at the precipice. It's just opening to the new era. And so we're at that place where everybody can regenerate their bodies and live hundreds of years.
Fantastic. I've been told I'm going to live up to be over 100, and I sit there scratching my head saying, okay, show me.
I just read an article about the Japanese. They have 5,800 people over 100. They did a special on a lady who was 117. And she looked like she was about 80.
Yep. And was that one of the places where the natural spring water is very alkaline and full of minerals? I know
it was one of the things
in various places that was.
Yeah, it could be. But it was across Japan that they had 5,800 citizens over 100 years old.
Wow. Wow. Incredible.
It's a really great number.
It's a wonderful number.
They're doing something that's
working. So here we are at that crossroads at the beginning of something new, but we're also in that period of incredible chaos before a major change, which most people, you know, that's what everyone hears about, and the world looks very crazy and very dark. And I totally agree with you that there is some hundredth monkey number of consciousness change that's going to shift everything suddenly. But what's your take on this period of chaos?
You know, I saw it years ago. I saw that we would have a collapse of systems. That's exactly what we're going through right now, is a collapse of systems. Governments and the financial systems and everything is collapsing. It has to, because everything was built out of an old model, the patriarchal model. Mm-hmm. So it has to kind of fall apart. So to me, it's just a necessary part of the process. Yes, there are always lower energies on the planet, because this planet is a planet where there's a lot of experimentation. There are avatars and holy people or divine people who come in and help help the people who are progressing on their spiritual path. But it's also a place where there are chaotic low energy beings that come in. So I don't make anything of that. We live in existence with those lower energy vibrations, because this is a place where it's happening. Planet Earth is a place where great growth is possible, and compassion and humanity are possible, and the extremes allow for passion to show up, allow movement. So when you look at it in a big picture, in the stages of like developing unconditional love, one of the things that happens is people have compassion for the suffering, and they can develop themselves. If mm-hmm. the planet were just a planet of love, that aspect of love wouldn't be developed, compassion, because there wouldn't be a need for it.
Interesting way to look at it, and certainly part of the path with all of this. And part of the reason that the internet is full of puppies and kittens. and then many people can't get past the kittens and the puppies, which is always frustrating. So you obviously have a method, a technique, an approach that is getting fantastic, consistent results. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you do it.
Well, I have, I've written a book called Your Divine Human Blueprint. It's 558 pages, and it really defines the science of cellular quantum mechanics. And what it is we're actually doing a number of things. We're clearing away that which no longer serves you. So from soul contracts and demonic curses, black magic, group mind virus, curses from others, traumatic episodes from past lives, emotions, and DNA. And then we're going in and we're regenerating and rebuilding cells. And what we're doing is we're working with the master cell, the stem cell that was with you 7 days after conception, and that still exists. If it doesn't exist in your body anymore, it exists in the human blueprint. Mm-hmm. We apply the quantum field to that master cell. We get that master cell up to 100%, meaning the nucleus, the absorption organelles, the DNA, everything returns to its God state. And then from that place, in the cell, there's what's called the mitochondria, a little fuel mm-hmm. generator. Looks like a caterpillar. You just push your finger on the belly of the caterpillar and start a cascade of new cell growth. So in other words, we're pressing on a program in the mitochondria to start the cascade of new cell growth, which allows an organ to grow back or allows the brain to be reestablished as a healthy, highly functioning brain.
Which sounds easy, but but how do you do it?
Essentially, what I've described is how I do it. I go through a process for about an hour. I clear soul contracts and demonic curses and remove spiritual parasites, aliens, entities, demons, evil spirits, transmortals, implants, all kinds of crazy mechanisms. And once we got that pretty well cleaned out, then we do the master cell, which is called cellular neogenesis, the regeneration of the master cell, and then mm-hmm. start the cascade of new cell growth. And we do it with using some hand movements, a quantum pump, which is a right hand movement where the hand is just pumping forward and back, and very, very simple.
So it's, it's going to sound silly, but sounds like my work. I meet that whole menagerie as well and deal with that all the time. Is it hands-on, in-person energy work that you do? Is it a more active process that the person goes through in addressing parts of their consciousness?
Not at all. This is something that I do with people around the globe, Skyping mm-hmm. and phone calls. And they just kind of sit back and relax, and we remove billions of programs and start the regeneration. It feels wonderful. And then the cells start regenerating, and sure. the brain cells will be growing new brain cells at 100% for 3 to 6 months, typically. So you're virtually getting a brand new brain with new cells.
I could use one of those.
Yeah. And I don't even call it energy work because we're working with the quantum field. I call it a health activation, which means we're returning the body to perfect health or to excellent health. So we're not even doing a healing. We're not doing energy work per se. But it falls in that category.
So how did you wind up finding this?
My own suffering. You know, that at the beginning we talked about me getting so much pain and so much suffering, and I couldn't go through anything else. And in my garden, in prayer and meditation, the very first day, after a couple hours of chanting and praying and demanding that something change, and I was determined, I had already been to where Buddha was enlightened in India. I had sat under the Bodhi tree and meditated there. And 20 years later, I'm in my own garden saying, God, you know, give me this enlightenment of the body, of how the cells regenerate and grow back. And right there on the spot, I watched a master cell go from very sick to its God state. And in that perfected state, it began to be this pulsing blue kind of neon orb that was pulsing in my mind's eye. And it was so amazing. I burst into tears. I knew I was looking at the face of God, and that every cell had the potential of being God, and that I had forgotten that. Mm-hmm. I knew that my spirit was part of God, but I didn't actually ever think about my body being an aspect of God. Mm. When I saw the cell go back to its God state, maybe it had never been there, but the cells can go to their God state too. So enlightenment became very clear to me. Enlightenment is full self-expression in the physical body. The old way of enlightenment was to go to India and meditate your way out of your body and into a divine connection. That is not the way of enlightenment in this new era. Right. Enlightenment is full self-expression, having a healthy, vibrant body, having a healthy, well-balanced spirit. And, you know, that's where it's happening in this era.
So many questions I've got for you.
Cool.
But we're going to go to a break in just a few minutes. Tell people where they can find you and a little bit about what they can plug into.
Very good. JulieRenee.com, JulieRenee.com. Hey, I've got some live classes going on right now. And actually, if you sign up for the assessment on the front page, you're going to get a couple free programs. Fatigue to Fabulous helps you heal your adrenals and restore energy in the body. And Accelerate Wealth 7-Day Jumpstart helps you really become a magnet for wealth from the inside out. Those are included in the assessment. So take the assessment, get the results, and get a couple wonderful free programs.
And the assessment is you're taking a look at things?
Yeah, the assessment is you being able to kind of look at how close you are to being 100% healthy, 100% connected with yourself. And it takes you through the aspects of the human blueprint. So you've got perception, which is your thoughts. And then you've got spirit, soul. So it's essence, spirit, soul, life force, and high self. Then you've got matter, everything physical, and then energy, including the chakras and the aura and many other things. And so the assessment is asking you questions in all of these four areas and identifying maybe where things are off and maybe where things are working well for you, so you have a better understanding of how you are working in your own design.
Sounds absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. And we will pick your brain some more. After the break, my guest is Julie Renee, and so many questions. I love this. So we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller, here on Empower Radio. This is David Franklin Farkas with the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere, and we're getting some of it from Julie Renee. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Julie Renee, who's talking about her amazing work, rejuvenating the body using the quantum field, which is an amazing way to look at it. But of course, what I wanted to talk about is the menagerie, you know, ghosts and demons and elementals, oh my. And you had a long list, and I think most people have no idea other than maybe thinking possibly ghosts exist or something. Have no idea the range of other intelligences that could be affecting them and what can be done about it. So can you speak to that for a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. It's funny because I've somehow gotten to be the outspoken expert because nobody else wants to. And I happen to kind of have to, you know, if you're going to get somebody well and they've got a disease, you've got to remove the bugaboos.
Yep.
So what I look at are kind of the nasty ones or the aliens, and there's 8 different versions. We don't have to go into them, but they all can be cleared with a technique that I teach. So there's aliens, and then the next kind of nasty bugger is transmortals. They come from the demonic realm. Mm-hmm. And then there's demons. Transmortals have little wormholes that they can put in your body so they can come in and out, and you wonder, hey, I thought I cleared that bugger, and he came back. So that's transmortals. You have to clear the wormholes and the transmortals. And with the aliens, you have to clear the implants and mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started looking at it, I didn't know what implants were, but I always heard it was like a seed, the kind of like this thing that they could jump back into so they could
exit or others could land inside your body. So you need to remove the implants.
I know some people that specialize in just doing removing alien implants.
Yeah, very good. And then there's demons. And so the three that I've listed are the aliens, the transmortals, and the demons are the ones that can really cause pain. So if you're suffering from migraines or serious back pain, your back went out at night while you were sleeping, it didn't go out. There's nothing wrong with your back. You had, you know, one of these bugaboos get inside your body and put pressure on the nerves and possibly, you know, cause some weird stuff going on in your body. But that wasn't from something you did when you were sleeping. So just know.
How do you see the difference between demons and transmortals? How would you define the two of them? What's the differentiation?
You know, demons seem like the opposite of angels. They come from the same kind of realm. They're mm-hmm. like the yin and yang. They're the opposites. Mm-hmm. Transmortals are in that realm also, but they look to me very giant and very like mean teenage boys who just want to cause trouble. And demons don't have that creativity. They just go in for something. They're kind of like a little bit like idiots. They're stupid, but they got a lot of power. But transmortals are like, you know, the boys, teenage boys, how they can think up any number of awful things, you know.
I'm talking about
the boys with the, you know, wanting to blow up a squirrel in a girl's lunchbox or something, you know. And I mean, it's just all the crazy things. That's what I see with the transmortals. So if you look at them, instead of looking at them as very threatening, look at them like, oh, mean teenage boys, they need to be, you know, disciplined, basically.
Right.
So I really try to keep a sense of humor about it all. From there, you have evil spirits, and those were human at one point, and they are the dark spirits. And then you have entities, and entities to me are very much like dust mites and things like that. Entities tend to travel in groups, so you won't see just one entity. You might see 30 of them in a diseased organ or something like that. Or maggots or something, you know, they kind of like, they cluster, and you can clear them out in a pretty easy method too. Also, ghosts can actually occupy your body, and surprisingly, I was just blown away. I did an event, and we spent 9 hours clearing spiritual parasites from my students, my immersion students, so basically apprentices. And all of the women, there were like 8 women who had a husband die. Who knew that that was going to happen? But mm-hmm. every one of them had the ghost of their husband inside their body. So understand yep. that if you went gray after your spouse died, your spouse is probably in your body. So you got to get them out.
Right. It's the easy to spot ones are the ghosts of drunks who hang out at bars and wait for somebody to get so completely drunk that they're out of their body and then take over the body. And people will say, you know, when he drinks, he's like another person.
Mm, yeah.
So it happens more than people realize in a lot of different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals, another one.
Hospitals are a terrible place to pick things up. I was working with a hospice worker, and she was full of ghosts.
Yeah, hospice workers get it a lot, but people in the waiting room who are sitting there feeling upset and vulnerable and their energy is very contracted. And somebody who just died under medication is just looking for something, somebody warm and fuzzy. Will you please stay with me and take care of me? And they pick them up and walk out with them.
Well, that's true. And also hospitals are just loaded with evil spirits and demons.
Yeah.
So just understand that they're like church for evil spirits and demons. They just hang out at hospitals ready to commune.
Right. Well, so much of the chemistry and technology that's being used is demonic. You know, it's functioning in a way that's not safe in any way, physically or spiritually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, don't get me started.
Okay.
But it's one of the nasty and painful things to watch, that so many incredibly toxic things are being done supposedly to heal people and just make everything horribly worse. Not that Western medicine isn't exactly what you need in a traumatic emergency, but for almost anything else, it's what's offered is from a perspective that is usually, let's poison them, let's cut or poison. And
I understand what you're saying, and I totally get it. I think that the Western medicine model has gone far astray, and people are waking up to that. They're yeah. aware of it, yeah. and I think, you know, people like you, whistleblowers, who say, "Hey, this is wrong." I think that's really the way that we're going to shift. But again, that's an old patriarchal setup.
Yeah.
It's it's dominating. You go to your doctor, and you turn over, surrender to the doctor, whatever the doctor says to you, whatever. So funny. I hadn't been to a doctor in 8 years, and I thought, "Oh, I'm moving. I'll just go say goodbye after 8 years of not going to the mm-hmm. doctor. Why in the world?" And they said, "Oh, we want you to have a mammogram and a colon test." And I'm like, "Well," I said, "well, that's not going to happen. See you later."
Right.
And I never had the appointment. I was just like, "Oh, you got to be ridiculous." It's like, I'm not turning myself. I'm healthy. Why would I do those things? Forget it.
Yeah,
put myself in radiation.
The assumption that you will acquiesce is amazing. My daughter just turned 20, and so I've been remembering the day she was born, and she was handed to me by the midwife, and I immediately fell in love and was holding her. And there was a reason that the doctors from the neonatal ICU had to check her. So what they wanted me to do was hand this newborn over to these people all dressed up in funny, scary costumes to be put under a bright light and just let them huddle around her. And I said, "You can do it, but my hand's going to be on her." And they were, "Oh, you can't do it." And I said, "Well, I guess you're not going to do that. Because if you want to do that, she is not going to be alone. She's going to have her dad with his hand on her, telling her it's okay." And they got totally flabbergasted and finally said, "Okay." And which is pretty much my relationship with my daughter ever since. But, you know, it's like, "Oh, well, we're telling you, so you're going to do it." "Oh, hell no."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's startling, for the Western medicine to have, because they're so used to the practitioners, that their word is God. I mean, everybody right. just blatantly follows. So when you say no. But honestly, I think the best patient, if you're going through some kind of treatment, is someone who questions, "Well, right. how is this going to affect me? What's the long-term result?" I mean, yes, I get that this is something that will help with a symptom, but will it create 20 other symptoms that are going to be even worse? And
it's also that moment that a lot of people face where the doctors say, "I have nothing to offer you, and you're going to die." And mm-hmm. some people accept that and pretty much will die exactly when the doctor said they would. And other people go, "So you're telling me you don't have a solution. You're fired. I'm going to find someone who does. Get out of here." Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who did that, who is still alive, I guess, more than 30 years after she was told she was going to die. She just wouldn't accept it. Perfect. There had to be a solution, and she found it.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I've died a couple times. It's not over until it's over. And you say it's over. If you
right.
agree to die, you die. When I died twice, I didn't agree to die, so I came back.
Right.
I had 5 near-death experiences, and twice I was gone, and I came back. I'm like, I'm not done. So understand that death is a decision that you make at some point where I'm in agreement to die. Understand also that if you decide to come back into a very sick body that was diagnosed that it should die, you're going to have a long haul back. You got to make a decision, is it worth it? And for me, it was. Long haul back, worth it. 100% worth it.
Right. I had a teacher who used to say that all death is suicide. Mm-hmm. That it's always a decision, and the circumstances in whatever way the person does it have been arranged because of that person's consciousness and what they're doing, whether it looks like circumstances or not. They work that out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gets into that whole realm of ghosts and ghosts not leaving. Because why would you stay? You know, like, go to the other side with the light and, you know, keep going, finish your life. And one of the very powerful reasons is whatever that person's codependent story about the living is. Oh, I can't leave. They'll never work this out. You know, the business will fail. You know, the kids won't be able to manage. So they stay.
Like, mm-hmm.
No, don't do that. They'll be fine. Yeah, I do a talk about ghosts, and I have a long list of all the things that I've found so far that are reasons that ghosts stay. The ones that know they're dead, most of them don't know they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I first realized it, was striking.
Mm-hmm.
How could you die and not know you died? So many different ways that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the other thing is, understand that with love and compassion, you can assist someone who is no longer in body to the heavenly realms. And, you know, when you fight against or accuse or are upset with them, when they think that they're confused, they're lost, they're looking, like you said, for a warm body, they're looking to figure out what's going on. They're not figuring out what's going on.
Right.
They don't know that they can go to the other side. They don't actually, the hundreds of spirits that I've helped pass to the other side didn't know that they were loved, didn't know that Jesus or Buddha or Kuan Yin would welcome them with open arms, assumed that they had to live in kind of a purgatory here.
Right.
Just didn't know. So by you showing them that they have a choice, 99% of them want to go. They don't know. I mean, they exit into a body because they're stupid, because they don't realize that someone would love them or that they could move on to a heavenly realm.
And there are so many reasons. One is that all the descriptions of what heaven is like are inaccurate. So they can actually look in that direction and they don't see what they expect and go, oh, well, it's not what I expect, so I better not go there. It could be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely fascinating. I actually had one circumstance where I was working nights in a psych hospital while I was apprenticing with 2 shamans. And this one patient was up late and was talking about a snake in her bed. So everybody was laughing about this Freudian implications. And I finally said, just wait here. And I went into the room and it was a ghost. And there was this kind of bizarre conversation because he looked at me and said, "Your staff, why can you see me?" Because he knew only the patients could see. And I finally realized that he didn't have any idea he was dead. So I said, "Do you know you're dead?"
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped, got a really strange look on his face and said, "Oh, that explains so much." Still kind of feisty and in my face, and it took another couple of rounds to get him to go with the angels, but I was like, really? So they really have no idea. But if you look at life in general, most people have no idea when they're in body. So why would they have a better idea when they're out of their bodies?
Yeah, that's true, and a point worth making. I work with people in their 70s and 80s, and one of the biggest problems about healing for them is getting their spirit in their body. So I can do the regeneration, and then they'll say, "Oh, I'm just dizzy, and I feel weak, and I'm cold all the time." And I'm looking at them, and they're like 2%
of their
body. And I'm like, "But you're not in your body, so." Oh, but I don't like walking, or I don't like exercise, or whatever it is, they've got to be in their body. And you can do all the regeneration till the cows come home. And if their spirit is not in their body, they're not going to get well. It's just, they have to live in their body. It has to be like the place to be. And, you know, the one thing I know about this realm is that this is the place to be. Everybody wants a body. There, for every spirit that gets a body, there are 100 spirits that don't get a body.
Right.
So if you've gotten a body, you're a master. And you may not feel like a master, but you've got it going on. And taking advantage of what you experience, I was hearing in your voice, you know, some regret and longing and compassion. You're using your human experience to develop yourself. You're using your human experience to grow as a person and to raise your energy vibration. I can hear it from the worthy causes you pursue. I mean, this is the opportunity. This is the big game, you know, in this realm. This is it. Getting a body is the big winner. It's not getting out of a body that's the big winner. It's getting a body.
Right. And there are so many ways that people get out of their bodies, although they wouldn't necessarily think of it that way, you know, whether it's drugs or distractions or whatever addiction they get involved in, or illness. All the various things are basically ways to not be in your body. And
I even understand when I look at people, the older they get, the less they're in their body. If you're active, working out, running, dancing, you're still in your body. If you've given up on working out and you'll notice, hey, I'm much more sedentary, I'd much rather watch a movie than go for a run or whatever that is, understand that you're giving up on your body.
Yep. It's, I just wonder what the balance is of the people who are working out intensely and then taking, you know, smoking pot or taking drugs or doing whatever they're doing and throwing themselves back out of their bodies, going out drinking for two nights in a row.
There are always extremists. I mean, if you come and work in my program, folks, I take the addiction stuff out of you. So people go, oh, my God, I've smoked for 30 years. I do a brain regeneration one day, and I don't smoke ever again. I've had numerous people say that. That's just shocking.
Right.
But we take the addiction out. We take the obsessive compulsive addiction stuff out, and it's gone. And, people do that for excitement, don't they? Let's just do all the extremes.
Right. Well, it's, you know, there are people that are expansive to get rid of whatever the feeling is, and there are people that contract. So there are people that tend to be alone and depressed, which is the opposite of the people who are running around like crazed people or exercising or whatever the hyperactivity is. It's still not addressing whatever the cause of the agitation is. So, yeah, people are interesting. So,
well, and so thank God that there are so many unique and wonderful different versions so that it never gets boring here. You know, like there's always some unique, kooky person doing some kind of obscure, wonderful, amazing, weird thing. So
right. Well, it's the people that are kooky and weird and are not doing what everyone else is doing that are really fascinating. Not that there aren't people in the corporate world doing wonderful things, but, you know, it's the folks that are not going downstream with everybody else that are running naked up the side of the stream screaming. How's that for an image?
Yeah. Yahoo.
So tell us again your website.
JulieRenee.com, JulieRenee.com.
And how do people plug into your program?
You know what? You can do the 100% assessment. It says sign up for the assessment here. It's next to the books. You know, there's a book I'd love to recommend to your audience, too. I think they'd really love it, the 100% You Formula, which is the assessment goes into that. But it has a home study guide with it, so it gives you videos and study action guide sheets. And you learn all about the human blueprint and really how you can use it for yourself. You learn how to do the quantum pump. It's a training, basically, for the cost of a book. So I think that's a fabulous way to plug in.
Sounds like it. I'm going to have to take a look at that. So are you doing trainings or any particular kinds of events coming up?
Yeah, I have a big event coming up the end of May, the Quantum Immersion Diamond Level. So that's the first level, and that is in San Francisco. It's a week-long training, and you get certified. So you're certified as Quantum Ambassador the first week. And you're going to learn how to regenerate the cells, how to remove DNA. The cell process is called cellular neogenesis. The DNA process is called DNA obliteration. You're going to have a whole day on learning all about clearing the stuff in the field of amplification, which is demonic curses and soul contracts and things like that. Perception, which is group mind virus, black magic, things you say badly about yourself. Curses right. from others and traumatic episodes from past lives, emotions. You spend a whole day really getting some sophistication and learning how to do it for yourself. There's a day
fantastic.
On karma clearing, a day on wealth generation. It's 7 days, 47 hours of training. You walk away a different person, much clearer, much freer, much more open.
Sounds fantastic. Everybody should look into it. And as always happens with fascinating guests, we're out of time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Wow, that went fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I told you. We always have a good time, but we always run out of time. My guest tonight is Julie Renee, who does this amazing work that I encourage you to check out at julierenee.com. And perhaps you can come back another time and we can continue the conversation, focus on some specific things. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the wonderful work you do in the world and the commitment you are to everybody getting the information properly. I so appreciate you.
Thank you so much. So if you got curious at all about who this guy David is and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com. And cleverly hiding in plain view is on the contact tab is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me that I could think of so far. Plus my scheduling calendar, I do a 20-minute free assessment to see what's going on with the person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be. And we can see how my work might be helpful to you. So please take advantage of that. If you want more about the show, go to thefarkasfiles.com. Isn't that clever? And the archives of however many years it's been, I think we're going on 4 years, of all these amazing shows with wonderful people like Julie Renee and their incredible stories and what they do. So please take advantage of that. On empowerradio.com, my show is on at 9 o'clock every evening with the live show on Thursdays, but we're also on Stitcher and iPod, Podcast, all of those. So you can search for it on any of those streaming media things. And we're just coming up on a new phase for Empower Radio. In order to take the next step, a whole bunch of things need to be upgraded, and sometime soon, I don't know exactly what the plan is, we're going to be doing a crowdsourcing fundraiser on Indiegogo. And I just want to put it in the back of your head, if you've been enjoying the shows on Empower, we would really appreciate your support in making all that happen. This is an incredible platform, provides incredible value for everybody who listens. And so I'm looking forward to this next stage. And until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.